that man born free. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. Chains that binds him are hard to see unless you take this walk with me. Place where he lives, he's got plenty of names. Slums, ghetto, and black belt, they are one and the same, and I call it.
Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast, episode 4038. The most common outcome is failure. Boy, this record was not a failure. Hey, we'll do it next.
What would you do? Rent is 2 months past due, and a building is falling apart. Little boy needs a pair of shoes, and this is only a part of. Some of the brothers got plenty of cash. Tricks on the corner, gonna see to that. Some like to smoke, and some like to blow. Some are even strung out on a $50 Jones. Some are trying to ditch reality by getting so high, only to find out you can never touch the sky, 'cause your roots are in. Oh yeah.
That's the dulcet tones of Isaac Hayes. The soundtrack to Shaft, 1971. This was a double record. Stayed on my turntable for a full year. At least a full year. I was 14 years old when this record came out. Man, I would hole up in my room with headphones on, and I would listen to this record nearly every single night. This record drove me, within a year or two, to walk into a hi-fi store and say, "Hey, I'm your guy. I need to sell stereo gear." Hey, my name's Randy Cantrell. Welcome to Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast. Man, it's amazing how tunes can just trigger memories, isn't it? 14 was a whole long time ago for me, being 14, but man, Isaac Hayes, dude had it going on. Little did I know at 14 that I would have a haircut pretty much just like Isaac Hayes had then, still has. The most common outcome is failure. Yes, it is. You can find the show notes for today's show, by the way, by going to leaningtowardwisdom.com. In the search this website, just enter the number 4038. Yeah, I'll have a cartoon. I'll have some links. It's all about tenacity. It's all about persistence. It's all about drive. It's all about determination. You know, but those don't work when you're up against a fortified wall that stands between you and success. Well, not always, anyway. Sometimes we need other characteristics like flexibility, curiosity. We need to be analytical. We need to be responsive. And frankly, those work better, wall or no wall, don't they? Mediocrity will fail. But, you know, winning does not require excellence. I don't think it does. And it certainly doesn't require it at the beginning. From Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers to Seth Godin's Purple Cow, we love stories. And I do, too. We all love stories of remarkableness. Now, I am a lifelong learner and lover of words. And some of my very favorite words are extraordinary, remarkable, unique, outstanding, dazzling. Entrepreneurship is experiential. Aristotle said, "For the things we have to learn before we can do them, we learn by doing them." You need to hear that again? Yeah, me too. It's one of those things you kind of, it sounds incredibly wise, and it is, but it's not one of those that you can kind of catch on the first pass. For the things we have to learn before we can do them, we learn by doing them. And so the life advice comes across, push hard. So we push hard. And then comes the exhortation, push harder. Now push harder. Don't quit. Never give up. Outwork the competition. Innovate. How often do you fail? How much failure does your employer allow? How much do you allow in your company? How much do you allow in your life? We hear a lot today about perfectionism and people who just want to get it perfect. And if as many people are perfectionists as claim to be perfectionists, wouldn't you think that we would experience a bit more perfection? It's funny how that works. The absence of failure translates into the absence of innovation, and innovation necessarily demands, well, a high failure rate. Ask customers what they want and then give it to them. Well, many pundits have said that for years. Now, I think it's completely bogus and wrong because customers aren't innovative. They mostly want it faster and cheaper, whatever it is. They're not thinking of something new. They want the burger to be better, cheaper, and give it to me now. Actually, give it to me 5 minutes ago. There's a logic to how companies and organizations provide value. It's the stuff of crafting valid business models. It all starts with the customer. Who are you going to serve? And then it moves to the value proposition. What problem are you going to solve? What need or desire are you going to fulfill? And then C, it goes to this channel or distribution. How are you going to deliver that value to the customer? D, all along the way, there is this ever-important relationship with the customer. It has to be established and it has to be maintained. E, the organization needs revenue. Customers must be willing to pay for the value provided. And if they don't, well, hey, the enterprise fails. Can't support itself. F, resources require management. So the assets necessary to build and deliver value to customers have to be properly managed for the enterprise to work. G, activities require management. The company has to create processes and workflows that get the job done. The people who perform the activities need leadership. People need accountability. H, partners. Well, partners are important. Enterprises need financial partners. We need vendors. Sometimes we need other outsourced resources. I, costs and expenses. Well, they've got to be properly managed or it all goes to you know where in a handbasket. And things can go wrong at any step along the way, and they often do. Sometimes they go wrong in many areas all at the same time. And so failure can happen at any point along the way. But this doesn't just apply to business. If you don't have a business and you don't care about business, your life is a business. You've got to provide value to an employer to keep a job. You've got to provide value to the people that you love and that you care about so that the relationship can flourish. But sometimes things can go wrong along the way. And so now what? I'm not trying to discourage anybody. Instead, I'm trying to encourage people. I'm trying to encourage you. I'd like to encourage you to understand that this is more about experience and it's less about how to. All of this stuff about wisdom is really about the experience and the process, and it's not a how-to manual. Gathered around kitchen tables all over the country, all over the world and perhaps sitting in beds with laptops perched atop. Well, okay, well, a lap. There are millions of people who are dreaming the dream of entrepreneurship. And for some, it's their dream. For others, it's the dream they think they're supposed to have. For some, it's a side project. For others, it's a full-time deal. Let's try a quick word game. And I want you to just blurt out. I'll hear you. Trust me, I'll hear you. I want you to say it out loud, though. Might help if you're alone. And if you're not alone, who cares? You got earbuds in your ears, right? You're in the gym. Nobody's paying attention to you. Blurt it out. You ever seen these people in the gym? They've got earbuds in and they're just bebopping. And sometimes they do the fist bump up in the air. And sometimes they're singing along. I'm the only one that goes to a gym that has crazy people? I don't think so. So let's do a quick word game. I want you to blurt out the first thing that comes to your mind after I say each of these words. You need to let your own ears hear it. Okay, you ready? Let's do 10 of them, shall we? 10 of them. Get ready now. I want you to say it out loud. I want you to say the first thing that comes to your mind after I say each word. So this is one of those word association kind of games. Okay, you ready? Number one, success. Number two, freedom. Number three, money. Number four, lifestyle. Number five, independence. Number six, time. Number seven, leisure. Number eight, value. Number nine, hustle. Number 10, scramble. Listen, I know what you're thinking, especially about those hustle, scramble. I get the other eight. Those last two, I mean, those don't fit. Not really. Sure, you've heard Gary V. Vaynerchuk use the word hustle. And others of us, old school fools, we remember the disco hit from the summer of 1975, Do the Hustle. Yeah, I should play it right here, but I'm not going to because you know, I wasn't a big disco fan. Now, that was innovation, by the way. Disco? Boy, disco was it was innovation, and I hated every moment of it. It was ridiculous then. It's even more ridiculous now. But it did plant the term hustle into everybody's vocabulary. Do the hustle. Lots of people did. It was ugly. It was very ugly to see. Hustle is something you must do. And so is scrambling. One sounds right, though, doesn't it? Hustle, that sounds right. That sounds positive. The other one, scrambling, no, that sounds less right. Sounds more chaotic. NFL quarterbacks flushed out of the pocket. Scramble. Roaches and rodents, they scramble when exposed to bright light. I'd like to be an NFL quarterback, but what if I'm just a roach? Scrambling. I mean, it just sounds so out of control. But if you ever watched Brett Favre play football back in the day, you know how it can be crazy effective or disastrous. Sometimes it works. Other times it fails, mostly because it's improvisation. It's veering away from the called play, or it's reacting to a busted play. No matter what, it's reactionary because it happens as the result of new information or new stimuli. The defense rushes more men than we have blocking, and our quarterback scrambles to avoid the tackle. Our quarterback fumbles the handoff to a running back, but regains possession of the ball. He's scrambling. Our quarterback is barking out the signals, and suddenly the center snaps the ball when he's not expecting the ball. He scrambles. And it happens in our businesses, too. We're expecting to make 10 sales. We make 2. We scramble. We open our launch. We expect 1,000 signups. We get 82. We scramble. We launch a podcast. We expect 1,000 downloads per episode by the time we get to number 14. we get 33. We scramble. Now, the thing about hustling and scrambling is they're joint workers. No, no, not that kind of joint. Joint as in partners. They work together. They work in tandem. And if you're not going to hustle, there's no reason to scramble. I mean, not if you're chasing success. And by the way, you don't have to be chasing the entrepreneurial dream for this to apply to you. This applies to your career, too. And it even can apply to your home life, because things rarely go as planned, because stuff happens. All those business model steps, what were there, about 9 of them? Those can be applied to any situation of your life. Yeah, they can. Go ahead, test it. What were there? A through I, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Test it. Test it. I'm telling you, it'll work. Yeah, you kind of have to use your imagination to reconfigure it maybe, but it applies. At home, who are you going to serve? Well, your family, I hope. What's your value proposition at home? Are you going to mow the lawn? You going to earn the income? You going to clean the clothes? What are you going to do to serve the family? How are you going to deliver the value? You going to hire a lawn service, or are you going to do it yourself? Will you get the kids to help you vacuum? You going to do it yourself? How will you establish and maintain the relationships with the family you're serving? Well, your own family. Will you tell them you love them? Will you hug them? Will you spend time with them? Family members will need to reciprocate or pay you back for your service. Well, what will that look like in your home? What will you expect? What will you demand? No, it won't be money, but it'll likely be much more valuable. You've got to manage the resources at home. I mean, the bank account, it's limited. Monthly income, yeah, that's limited too. That's what budgets are for. Well, the activities of the family, they need oversight. I mean, the kids have to be given training and instruction and discipline. Everybody has a job to do, and there's got to be accountability throughout the house. If you don't, you have chaos. And partners matter. You got lots of outside relationships that impact your house. There's the mortgage company, there's the utility company, there's the insurance companies, there's a host of other providers that make your house run. You've got to manage those. Expenses really matter. I mean, boy, don't you know that all too well. You can't spend more than you make. Yeah, a lot of people do. Unfortunately, credit will allow you to do that, but well, let's rephrase that. You should not spend more than you make. And everybody in the house has to understand that rule. And there it is. There it is in a nutshell, the business model applied to your house. A model that can fail, by the way, at any one of those points and bring your house down, not only financially, but can bring your house to relationship ruin. Marriages fail a lot, more than half. And that's not counting all the common law versions of marriage. Parents fail a lot. Kids get in trouble. Kids act stupid. Kids misbehave. And kids fail because, well, too often as parents, we fail. Careers fail a lot. Sometimes they implode under the weight of an ego, a hot temper, any number of ill-mannered behavior. Sometimes they implode under the weight of incompetence. But sometimes things fail in spite of our best behavior, in spite of our best efforts. It's that crude but true saying, blank happens. Indeed, it does. And sometimes when you least expect it. I can't end today's show without the realization that bad things happen to good people. You know this. You're a good person. Bad things have happened to you. And bad things happen in spite of us doing all the things. Well, they happen in spite of us doing all the right things, and sometimes they happen in spite of us doing all things right. And that's because we're not in full control. Other people enter our lives. Sometimes they help us. Sometimes they disrupt us. Beyond your control. He's a business owner who is in trouble. Well, actually, the trouble is past. He's sunk already. For years, he has run a successful company, but in recent years, things, they turned south, way south. And it didn't start with anything he did wrong. His longtime landlord died. A daughter who lives four states away inherits the property. She wants triple the lease amount. And the details of the lease, given her father's death, give her, well, they give her wide latitude. The business owner has 6 months to execute a new lease at these higher rates or make other arrangements. Well, he's stunned. He's stunned. Our business owner, he knows that tripling the monthly lease amount, that'll cripple his business. So that's not an option. And yet finding a suitable place to relocate his entire business within 6 months, well, that's not ideal. But he begins to negotiate to try to buy some time. Well, that doesn't work. And at the same time, he begins to earnestly find another location. The move, yeah, it's going to be expensive, but it's not going to be as costly as tripling his monthly overhead. And he moves, and the business suffers. And so begins a tailspin from which he cannot recover. Decades of business success foiled by the death of a landlord and a greedy survivor. Such is life. Okay, such is death. More than a landlord died, so did his business. And the only thing he's thinking now is how deadly that lease agreement was. But as he reviews the few years that have elapsed, he realizes the wealthy landlord held all the cards. Should he have signed that lease? At the time, he didn't have a choice if he wanted to remain in a location that he'd had for years. The landlord was growing older, and they had a great relationship, but things change. Death happens. Things beyond our control foil our success sometimes. I was not yet 30 years old. In fact, if memory serves, I was about 28. And running a multi-million dollar retail company, a subsidiary of a much larger company. The owner was older, 39. We were on a roll. Barely did a week go by where he didn't tell his inner circle the big audacious goal. We're going to go public. We're going to go public, kids, and we're all going to get rich. One Friday, I had a scheduled meeting with him in my office, and that morning his secretary and assistant called to tell me that he had decided to go down to Houston for the day. Going to hop on Southwest and take a quick flight. No problem, I'm thinking. I'll talk to him next week. We saw each other almost weekly. He was a terrific guy. He was a great mentor. That same Friday night, he was killed in a car accident shortly after leaving the airport. My phone rang in the wee hours of the morning with the news, and I remember driving to his house Saturday morning to see his wife and a few fellow coworkers. None of us planned on our founder dying. We had big plans. He had big plans. We were going places. I won't bore you with the struggles of the next 18 months, but they were some of the most stressful, taxing times of my entire life and my young family's life. I went from loving my work to hating my work, dreading it, finally walking away from it. I hadn't done anything wrong, but it didn't matter. Professionally, many of us were wrecked through no fault of our own. It happens. Nobody will take care of you. My day work focuses on helping people with a variety of problems and challenges. Some of those involve generating revenue. These days, most don't involve that at all, but they all involve people's work with and for other people. The business arena calls them the soft skills. So think of me as a soft skills expert. I think of myself that way. Most weeks, I catch myself urging people to avoid the false notion that the company or the organization, that'll take care of them. No, that's fool's gold. As I sit in people's offices and I see pictures on their desk and on their credenza and on their walls, pictures of family, pictures of wives and husbands and children, sometimes grandchildren, I regularly remind people that those people in those pictures, they're depending on you. That is, the people I'm serving. They're depending on you to take care of them. Don't entrust their success or failure to your employer. Don't entrust their success or failure to your company. Assume responsibility for yourself and for those that you love. Put yourself in the best position possible for success. Knowing that lots of things can happen beyond our control, and even so, you can control your own behavior, your own conduct, your own choices. And I think the wiser we can make all of those elements, the wiser we can make our own behavior, our own conduct, and our own choices, the better our chances of success, even in the face of adversity that is beyond our control. I mean, who cares if failure is more common than success? Somebody out there is succeeding. May as well be us, right? May as well be you. Over 30 years ago, an old business guy, he told me somewhere in a bad location and a bad economy is a store that is setting new sales records. Somewhere in a great location and a good economy is a store that's dying. You know the difference? The guy who runs the place. Leadership makes all the difference. Be a leader of your own life. Be a leader of your own career. Be a leader in your own home. Make all the difference that you can. Memories from 1975. Earth, Wind, and Fire. The title track of what was a great record that I wore out selling hi-fi gear. Easily the most used LP in my early career as a hi-fi sales guy. That's the way of the world. Earth, Wind, and Fire, 1975. Man, that's a record you should buy. I tell you what you should buy. You should just buy Earth, Wind, and Fire, the greatest hits. I mean, terrific. Terrific. In fact, in 2003, this record, That's the Way of the World by Earth, Wind, and Fire, was ranked number 493 on Rolling Stone magazine's list of 500 greatest albums of all time. It moved up on the list, by the way, when in 2012, Rolling Stone revised the list. It went from 493 to 486. Good stuff, I'm telling you. It is the way of the world. Adversity, failure, mistakes, learning from them, overcoming them, dealing with them, sometimes muscling through, sometimes just shrugging them off and moving on, dusting yourself off. It's all the stuff that we all have to do. I know you're going through some tough times. I get it. We're all there. You just lean toward wisdom. As the tagline says, put your shoulder into it and lean hard. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. Plug in the number 4038 and you'll find today's show notes. I hope you'll tell a friend. I'd love it if you would review the show. Just go over to iTunes. I know it's a hassle. I'd greatly appreciate it, though. Join the Facebook group, by the way. If you've not done that, just click on the Facebook group tab over at the website, leaningtowardwisdom.com. It'll take you straight there. Hey, all you got to do is send the request, and I will approve it. It's a closed group, but small group, but we're growing. Coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, my name is Randy Cantrell, inside the Yellow Studio. Well, you just know that you're special, don't you? Because you're listening to The Bitter End, and I greatly appreciate it. I'm going to take you out with another. It's not Motown so much, although I'm still an enormous fan of the old Motown stuff. But this was a band that I went to see. I was probably 14, so it was probably about the same time that that first record that I played, Shaft, 1971, somewhere in there. Might have been 72. So I'm 14 or 15, and I go see this band play, and a group called Wet Willie opened for them. Wet Willie's not still around, but their lead singer is. I even played a track from one of his solo records. But this band was who we came to see. And this was before assigned seating. Everything was just wide open. And you just, you know, the gates opened and you just ran for your life to get to the front of the stage. The lights come up. The band comes out. They're throwing frisbees into the crowd. It's just great. It was just great. Completely great. I was madly in love with this band. I thought this band was just great. This was really good riding around music, good whatever music. And this is a song that you've heard, big hit of theirs. And this is from a 1982 record, The Best of War. The song is Low Rider. I was particularly in love with the harmonica player. His name was Lee Oscar. I don't know what happened to him. I remember his name, though, man. I remember watching him. I remember listening to the records and reading up about him. And if there were interviews around, I'd read those. I was fascinated. I was fascinated by the guy's ability to play a harmonica. I was kind of fascinated by the harmonica, to tell you the truth. And the guy had, you know, he was one of those guys, he had just a ton of them. There have been some other guys that have come along, you know, since. John Popper, some other guys that are Mad Dog harmonica players. And I'm fond of them. I'm fond of them. But this whole funk, this whole beat kind of a thing was just fascinating to me. And I loved it. I loved these guys. It was a great concert. A lot of memories from that concert still. Yeah, I can smell the weed from here. Man, alive. It's unbelievable, isn't it? We survived our youth. At least I have. Thanks for listening.